Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Okay, so good to be with you. Good to be back. Good to be feeling better. Feeling better? What are you talking about, Steve? Well, you know, because I had the COVID. I dealt with it all last week and feeling great yesterday, today, feeling very normal as Steve Noble can be, which is almost a contradiction in terms, but it's good to be rocking and rolling. And if you want to know what it's like, if you haven't had COVID yet, at least for me as a soon-to-be 55-year-old in pretty good health, I don't have any pre-existing conditions, no comorbidities, I'm at a healthy weight, and don't drink, don't smoke, all that kind of stuff. So for me, it was a little fluish. I had a very slight temperature, 99.3 or something for, I don't even think, a day. And kind of a upper, like a head cold type thing. And it lasted for about 10 days, 8 days really. My symptoms started to go away on Monday this week. And by Tuesday, I started feeling really good. Yesterday, today, I feel great. So praise the Lord for that. And here I am, the 99.997% chance survival rate for somebody my age at 54 years of age, almost clocking into 55. Came through for me, and here I am. Praise the Lord. So anyway, setting that aside, I wanted to do this on Tuesday. I think it was Tuesday when we actually ended up having to play a best of show because we had some things have switched online. Yeah, duh. And but I'm not talking about social media giants. And so I wanted to take your phone calls on Tuesday and just open it up because I was talking all last week. I had some guests, a great conversation about everything that's been going on since the quote-unquote Senate results in the quote-unquote election in quote-unquote Georgia, all that kind of stuff. So you had that. And then, of course, you had the Stop the Steal rally and then what happened at the Capitol. And then you have impeachment, which came through yesterday. So crazy, bizarre, infuriating in many ways. 7 days, the last week, just the week. And so here we are, 2021, January 14th. We're not even halfway through the month. And 2021 is making 2020 look somewhat normal, isn't it? So I have not opened up the phones. I haven't given you a chance to call in and share what you're thinking. So I'm going to do that for most of the show today. Just what do you think about the state of the nation, the State of the Union? You want to give your short little State of the Union address? What happened in D.C., the Capitol invasion, whatever you want to call it. All of those titles and names can be inflammatory depending on who's saying it. And so I call it whatever you want. I don't really care. Or maybe you want to talk about all these prophecies, all these words from the Lord, all these prophetic people in the last 2 months saying for sure, and they're still saying it. Many of them are still saying it. Hey, Donald Trump's going to be sworn in again next week on Wednesday. It's not going to be what you think. Joe Biden's going to be in jail. They're going to arrest Mike Pence, all that kind of stuff. Maybe you want to talk about that. Maybe you want to talk about the impeachment yesterday. Two impeachments in 13 months, two out of the four in the history of the United States government. Nancy Pelosi gets to put her name on two of those. I think it was a complete farce, political farce. It's a joke. And it brought into question because they used the word incitement as well as insurrection. What in the world does that even mean? Right? So peaceful protests, Senate control, 50-50, which is then going to go to Kamala Harris in the tie-breaking vote, making the wild assumption, apparently, according to some people, that Joe Biden's going to get inaugurated next week. Bless the impeachment. There's a lot out there, right? A lot to be thinking about, praying over. I know people are mad, infuriated, concerned, worried. Maybe you don't care. Maybe you're apathetic. But I do want to know how you're replying, how you're responding to all this. What do you think? What do you have to say about the state of the nation given what's happened in the last 7 days? You want to talk about all those things or just one of those things? That's fine. I want to give you that opportunity today. 866-348-7884 is our phone number. 866-348-7884 or 866-34-TRUTH. Really would like to know how you're processing through everything that has happened in this country over the last week. And now here's something else. We're going to talk a little bit about incitement and insurrection. Okay. So let me play you a montage of various people on the left. And let's consider this before we hit the commercial break. Does this sound like incitement to you? That's my question. Okay? So are you ready in there? Let's play it. All right, check this out.
People need to start taking to the streets. This is a dictator.
You know, there needs to be unrest in the streets for as long as there is unrest in our lives.
Enemies of the state.
Show me where it says that protests are supposed to be polite and peaceful.
Do something about your dad's immigration practices, you feckless.
When they go low, we kick.
How do you resist the temptation to run up and wring her neck?
The biggest terror threat in this country is white men, most of them radicalized right up to the right.
I thought he should have punched him in the face. I said, even if you lost, he insulted your wife.
Yes.
He came down the escalator and called Mexicans rapists and murderers. He said, well, what do you think I should have done? I said, I think you should have punched him in the face and then gotten out of the race. You would have been a hero.
I'd like to punch him in the face. I said, if we were in high school, I'd take him behind the gym and beat the hell out of him.
Punch some people in the face.
When was the last time an actor assassinated a president?
They're still going to have to go out and put a bullet in Donald Trump, and that's a fact.
Look as his character is stabbed to death.
Where is John Wilkes Booth when you need him?
I have thought an awful lot about blowing up the White House.
A Missouri state senator is under investigation by the Secret Service after saying she hopes President Trump is assassinated.
I will go and take Trump out tonight.
And if you see anybody from Maxine that cabinet
Water.
In a restaurant, in a department store, at a gasoline station, you get out and you create a crowd. And you push back on them. And you tell them they're not welcome anymore, anywhere.
And sadly, the domestic enemies to our voting system and our honoring our Constitution are right at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue.
They're not going to stop before Election Day in November, and they're not going to stop after
this
Election
Day. This is Kamala.
Day. And that should be, everyone should take note of that on both levels, that this isn't, they're not going to let up, and they should not.
If you think we're rallying now, you ain't seen nothing yet.
And that was the shooting by Antifa, the Trump supporter, not that long ago. So there you go. Does that sound like incitement to you? Incitement is pushing people towards violence, by the way. Violence and not just illegal activity, not just to go be obnoxious, but pushing them towards violence when you look up incitement in the law. And then, of course, you have insurrection. So when we come back, I'm going to read to you what Donald Trump actually said at the Stop the Steal rally last Wednesday, what they're calling incitement. And we'll compare those side by side and see what you think. We'll let the chips fall where they may. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. And I was playing for you in the first segment, and I've got the text, the actual written words from what President Trump said at the Stop the Steal rally last week regarding Congress and marching to the Capitol. So I want you to hear what he's saying and compare and contrast that to the video montage I just played you of a bunch of elected representatives and some actors like Johnny Depp. Hey, when's the last time an actor assassinated the president? Well, they can get away with that stuff. Why? Because it's the left judging the left, which they're always going to judge themselves as innocent. But when anything happens on the right, and if they can use it against you, they will. And then I'm going to take you into some comments that AOC had on her Instagram live feed about truth detecting and managing and overseeing the media. Then the question becomes, whose truth are you going to enforce? We'll get to that with AOC. But I also wanted to give you a chance just to call in and share what you think about what's been going on here in the nation. You want to talk about what happened at the Capitol last week, Trump's role, non-role, with the impeachment from yesterday, whatever you would like to say. If you want to talk about all these prophecies that are out there, people still saying, hey, the arrests are starting tonight. Trump declared martial law on Saturday. I'm like, oh, yeah, that's news to the rest of the 340 million people in America. Any of it, whatever you want to chime in on, whatever you want to sound off on, because most of the time, and on Twitter and other places, you don't have an outlet. Well, you have one here. So call in and share how you're reacting, what you're thinking, how you're processing through everything that's gone on in this nation in the last 7 days. 866-348-7884 or 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to James first right here in my backyard in Raleigh. James, thanks so much for calling in. Go right ahead. Hey, James, are you there? Let me try that again. Hey, James, are you there? Okay, not sure what's going on with there. Let me go to Ann, who's calling in from North Carolina. Hopefully we'll get a connection there. Hey, Ann, thanks for calling. You're on with Steve. Go ahead.
Hi, Steve. You might be happy or not so happy to know that I'm becoming your number one fan.
It's always good to hear from you, Ann. Thanks for calling.
Oh, you're welcome. You know, I've challenged you in the past, but I can't tell you, my brother, that you really tell it like it is. I am every time I listen to the show, you know, some people try so hard to be balanced, you know, in terms of, you know, seeing everybody's side. Well, that's fine, except that this is a time when there's so few few people that are telling people what we as conservative Christians are going through. So that's number one point, but just thank you. I seriously, number one fan here. But anyway, Maxine Waters and Pelosi, for instance, I mean, how can these people, what is wrong with the conservatives, with the Republicans, that we don't, and all the people saying, you know, Trump, you want to shoot Trump, and I mean, the horrible things that have been said, Kathy, with her face, you know, with the head and all that.
Yeah, Kathy Griffin.
Yeah, exactly. And Pelosi, I mean, her first comment with all the riots before, you know, and the murders and the burnings and lootings, she, you know, well, people will do what they're going to do. She was just so pathetic.
Yeah.
And the third point is, where do conservatives today, I mean, I'm on Facebook, and now I'm still with Facebook, but I'm also going to go to WeMe, whatever.
Yeah, there's a million of them now.
Right, exactly, and I'm trying to do what I can to be heard in my own small little world. But what should we do? What can they do? I mean, I feel so bad, and I know so many are for Trump. I didn't love him at first, and the more I saw past interviews, and the more I saw he speaks truth with no guile, even though he's got his imperfections, just like the rest of us pilgrims in process. But
yeah, well,
what do we do?
Yeah, I mean, are you talking about just in terms of a platform and communicating and speaking our minds? Is that what you mean?
Yeah, but also being able to be heard enough to make a change, you know,
I'll take that. I'm going to go ahead and hang up, Ann, so you'll hear me answer on the air, okay?
I
just want to make
great.
Sure I've got
Thanks,
rooms for
Steve.
Other callers. Okay, I'll jump on that. Thanks, Ann, for calling. Okay, well, first of all, everybody's getting invites for all these different platforms, right? So she mentioned MeWe, there's Clout Hub, there's WhatsApp, there's Faithdom, which I talk about here on the show. They've been on before, and the founder of Faithdom was on. That's kind of like a Facebook, very Christian-centric and conservative Faithdom. You can get that off the App Store. And then, of course, we'll see what happens with Parler, Twitter, Facebook, which are still operating. And you can take a stand on that and say, I'm not on Twitter anymore, I'm not on Facebook anymore, but tons of people still are. And the only... If the only reason you're on social media is to speak about political issues, you're underutilizing it. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ. So is that the only thing we want to tell people about is our opinions on politics? Back that up for me biblically, by the way, if you can. Do you think that's the only thing? And then Gab's out there, of course. Gab's another one. And so there's other options. Right now, I'm wondering, as the smoke clears, who's going to actually be able to handle all this capacity and all this switching? Facebook and Twitter were down. Their market cap this week. Sorry, I'm still recovering. Dropped by like $50 billion. So people are leaving there, and that's fine. I understand that. But there's other things to talk about besides politics, are there not? And can you have a gospel witness on Facebook and Twitter regardless of what they do? Yes, you can. Can you also get away with political talk on Facebook and Twitter? Yeah, I'm not a big Twitter person, but I still do a lot on Facebook, and I'm not leaving it. I'll continue to use it, and I'm playing it with the mankind's machinery. And do you expect that to be pure as the wind-driven snow or perfect? Listen, Fox News has a lot of garbage. I see garbage ads on other places, too, that are conservative and that claim, you know, to kind of care about American values. So you're not going to get some perfect platform. But we need to continue to speak the truth and love and be compassionate and patient. Speak the truth, by the way. Be very careful with your own media bias, with your own bias in terms of your beliefs, political and otherwise. Confirmation bias, which I'm going to share and retreat everything that I agrees with my position already, but I'm going to ignore everything else. You got to be careful about your own bias. Be honest. But make sure we're praying. If we spend as much time praying as we do posting, things might change. But we don't know what that really looks like, do we? Because we spend, I'll just flat out tell you, I spend way more time on social media than I do on my knees every week. And do you think that's pleasing to the Lord? Of course not. Where do you think there's more power for me as an individual Christian? In my prayer life or in my posting? I can tell you right now, it's in my prayer life. It's not in my posting. But we live in the exact opposite way. So we got to be careful with all that. And then don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. This is not new. There's nothing new under the sun. Thank you, Solomon. And this has been going on for a while, and it will continue to increase in its deception and the darkness and the difficulty. That's the deal. Read the book. We've known this was coming. I just didn't think we really thought that we would be involved in something that smelled this much, tasted this much, seemed like this much, that it was like end times kind of stuff. And that doesn't mean we're 20 days or 20 years away from Jesus coming back. None of us knows when that is. But you better start living like it's a whole lot closer, because it obviously is. And I believe things are speeding up. But you got to be careful. Don't overreact, and don't react and engage out of emotion. But also, if the only thing you're posting is politics, and I struggle with that myself, there's other things to talk about. There's other things to point people to. There's other important things besides politics. So let's use our platforms, not just for politics, but for the proclamation of the gospel. I think we all need to start there. All right, James, I still have you on hold, so hopefully we'll be able to hear you when we come back. Clay and Raleigh, if you want to chime in as well, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-34-TRUTH. So if you're happy in your stuff, and if 10%... Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. Great to be with you. So we're going to continue talking through all these issues that are unfolding fast and furious. I didn't want to get to these calls. I want to try to get James on here. And, there you see. All right, James, if you want to call back, I'm more than happy to try it again. Okay. Whatever you wanted to say, I'd love to hear from you. I think he was going to talk about thinking that Trump bared some responsibility in what happened last Wednesday. I can look at that and agree with that from a global perspective, from a really high altitude meta narrative in terms of just Trump riling people up, his supporters. He's good at that. And that does create, it's like kindling for a fire, right? But it takes some work to go from a little kindling to a 30,000 acre brush fire. That takes a little bit more than just kindling, okay? And that doesn't remove personal responsibility from people. But I'm going to read to you exactly what he said. But if you want to call in and chime in on any of these big news issues, just kind of an open line day here on the show, I'd love to give you the time to do that. 866-348-7884. Plus, it's a lot harder for big tech to... censor us on the radio and during Facebook Live. So take advantage of that. 866-348-7884 or 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to my buddy Clay calling in from the Raleigh area. Thoughts on the nation. Clay, thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Hey, brother. God bless you, man. And top of the thirst day, mid-afternoon to you. You know, we're thirsting for tomorrow. You know, I tell you what, I'm going to start this thing off. You know, it was 4 or 5 months from now will be about 6 years that you got on the horn, and we're getting people to call in and ask what their thoughts are about Trump running for president. Well, I was one of those people that chimed in, and I told you what my thoughts were, is that the man has a set that most people probably don't have, and he don't have a yellow streak down his back, and we know that he's not a chicken. He stands for stuff that really needed to happen in this country. And, you know, I am not going to go away from saying that I feel sad for him, because ever since day one that he was, you know, because people made a choice to, you know, make him president. And you look at what has happened. But to me, everything that has been done, including last Wednesday, there's so much stuff, negativity, idiocracy. I could go on. I could use several words, but I don't care to do it, because that's not the person that the Lord has made me to be. And I mean, you know, you and I are godly people, as is everybody else that listen to you and, you know, give their viewpoints about stuff. Here's the thing. I'm naturally believing, correct me if I'm wrong, please do, that last week, last Friday, you had a wonderful godly man who's an evangelist, who shared his story about getting up early that Wednesday morning.
Yeah.
And going up to do what he did. Then you also talked to a wonderful godly woman and she shared her story, how they were walking. And, you know, it's interesting how the Lord works in this situation. And from what I've heard, now this is from what I've heard, and I believe it, that most of the Trump people that were there were pulling other people back, saying not to go do the Capitol thing.
Some were.
And because...
Again, let me just jump in there, Clay. One of the things that we all need to be careful of, whether we're talking about this incident or anything else, is very general, widespread type language. So when you say most Trump people, well, there were a couple hundred thousand people there. So most Trump people weren't involved with the whole thing, period. So there were some Trump people that were trying to start, and we don't know exactly who was who. Who were agitators? Who was Antifa? Who was QAnon people? Who were Trump supporters? We got to be really careful with that because none of us are in possession of all the truth. So that's why I just caution all of us to be very careful with making declarative statements about something that's got so many angles to it. Go ahead. Sorry.
Well, I understand you, and I'm with you, and I hear you, and I'm listening to what you're saying. But to me, it's just really sad. That's why I have shared with most everybody, and I can share it with you. I think I've shared it with you before, but I'm not sure. Correct me if I'm wrong again, that I don't care about politics. Politics has a tendency to just ruin things when they have done that. They've done that in the last 4 years, ever since day one. That man has been in. It's just like reading, you know, knowing the story about Jesus. Ever since that night that he was captured, that night that he said, no, I must do this.
Yeah.
He was beaten. He was, you know, scorned. He was mocked. I mean, look at, if people will read Isaiah chapter 53, knowing what that man went through to sacrifice his life, our sin, every single one of us. And you know what? I believe that Donald Trump, the president of the United States, was put in that position for a reason, and that's why he brought Vice President Pence on, because he's a godly man. And, you know, I sometimes feel that he brought in the little say, hey, don't go that way. Don't go that way.
Yeah.
Easy. The Lord knows what he's doing. And he even had, you know, Brother Jay Sekulow's a godly man. You know, Pastor Don Wilton's a godly man. Pastor Robert Jeffers is a godly man. And those people were coming alongside him because it was needed. You don't think that, you know, everybody else has tried to do that for these other people?
Sure.
No, I'm going to tell you, I truly believe in my heart that, you know, something positive is still going to come out of this. And even everything that is going on, we do need to be in prayer. We really do, because,
absolutely,
you know, the way things are going and the way things are traveling, you know, it's not going to turn out pretty in the next few days and weeks and months.
Brother, yeah, and I think, I and that's it. Yeah, and I appreciate that point, and that's something we need to remember, and especially on the prayer side of it, Clay, we need to make sure, like I said a few minutes ago, do I pray as much as I post? No, I post more than I pray. So what do I think I'm actually going to make a difference in this culture? And a lot of times I think we really don't ultimately believe that much in the power of prayer. If we did, we would be doing it a whole lot more. Some of you do. Some believers I know are, hey, my wife is. And that's awesome. But most of us have a whole lot of work to do on that one.
Can you talk about, also bring up about Saturday? Because I'm really giving some heavy hearts coming.
On the
I heard you talk about it yesterday.
Yeah,
the March
for Life.
For the abortion.
Yep, I will. I'll bring that up in the last segment. I'll do it. But Clay,
right,
I got to go.
God bless you, man. Love
you too, pal.
Love
you too.
Thank you for doing your job.
Absolutely. Thanks so much. We'll talk to you later. And so let me go back to this inciting thing, and I appreciate Clay calling in and sharing. Okay, here's exactly what Donald Trump said. Okay, you heard earlier, and I put the link up. You can go watch the video yourself on the Facebook live feed here on my Facebook page. So if you want to jump onto Facebook later, if you're still doing that, just go to the Steve Noble Show page, and you'll find it during the Facebook live for today. I also posted it a couple days ago. So just incredibly insightful, violent language, including blowing up the White House and Brad Pitt talking about when's the last time a movie star assassinated a president. Okay, that kind of talk. Then there's this, word for word, from last week at the Stop the Steal rally before a decent size of that group went to the Capitol. This is Donald Trump, word for word. Now it is up to Congress to confront this egregious assault on our democracy. He's talking about what he believes, that the election was stolen. And after this, we're going to walk down, and I'll be there with you. We're going to walk down. We're going to walk down. Anyone you want, but I think right there, he's talking what directions. But I think right here, we're going to walk down to the Capitol, and we're going to cheer on our brave senators and congressmen and women. And we're probably not going to be cheering so much for some of them, right? Ha, right, right. We love some of them, the ones that are standing up against certifying the election results from the swing states. And then the ones that aren't, we're not going to cheer for them. We're not going to be happy. Because you'll never take our country back with weakness. Because you'll never take back our country with weakness. That's a general declarative statement, and it's true. That's not an incitement to violence. That's a factual statement. You have to show strength, and you have to be strong. That's also not inciting. We have come to demand that Congress do the right thing and only count the electors who have been lawfully slated. Lawfully slated. Okay, word for word here. It's the President of the United States last week. This is what they allegedly, well, they did. Come on, Steve, senior moment. This is what they impeached him for. I know that everyone here will soon be marching over to the Capitol building to peacefully and patriotically make your voices heard. Today, we will see whether Republicans stand strong for integrity of our elections. But whether or not they stand strong for our country has been under siege for a long time, far longer than this 4-year period. So, okay, that's it. What is that? We're going to go cheer on our brave senators and congressmen and women, and we're probably not going to be cheering so much for some of them. You might as well be going to a basketball game. We're going to cheer for our team. We're not going to cheer for the other team. Okay? All right. Sounds good. We have come to demand that Congress do the right thing and only count the electors who have been lawfully slated. Lawfully slated. He has every right to say that. Every right to make that charge. Is that incitement? It isn't. I know that everyone here will soon be marching over to the Capitol building to peacefully and patriotically make your voices heard. We've been hearing that all summer. One of the most patriotic things you can do is protest. Have we not? That's I would agree. It's not always patriotic, but it's certainly American, because that's a guaranteed right under the First Amendment, the right to protest, to peaceably gather. That's fine. And to encourage people to do it. That's not incitement. He didn't say go down there and bust in the building and show them what for. People did that, but not at the president's direction. Incitement? No, it's just Nancy Pelosi and the liberals and 10 Republican members of the House that just can't stand the guy, Trump derangement syndrome, and want to put the final nails in his political coffin. That was what was behind impeachment yesterday. We'll be right back with AOC. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. Great to be with you. So speaking of communication, we were talking about a little bit about Trump, a little bit about everything, the impeachment from yesterday, which was just a political kabuki theater. They're just trying to bury him, make sure he doesn't come back. They don't have the votes in the Senate, because to convict in the Senate, you need a 2/3. That would be 67 senators. You'd have to have 67 senators vote to convict Donald Trump of inciting insurrection. Neither one of those words in the law would apply. I was just reading you what he said. You can't make that case. No court of law is going to find him guilty there. But that doesn't matter in the U.S. Senate. It's not a court of law. It's just a bunch of senators. But they would need 67 votes to convict, which would require 17 Republicans to convict him. And that's not going to happen. So they know they're not going to get a conviction. So this is all just kabuki theater. I think they're trying to do everything they can to damage not only Donald Trump, but all of his followers and the Republican Party in general. And so they're just kicking them all the way out the door. And they'll inflict as much harm as they can. And that's part of the whole Trump derangement syndrome. It's crazy. But what about the people that are still going to be there? Somebody like AOC. You may have seen this story, but because I'm a communicator on radio and Facebook and podcast and stuff, this one caught my attention. It should catch your attention. As we've talked about the purge the other day and what's going on with big social media, big tech, Twitter and Facebook and all the other places. AOC was doing a live Instagram on her Instagram page. And somebody asked her about dealing with communications and the media. Very alarming, very real, okay? We're going in this direction. Don't think that we aren't. So here's AOC talking to her followers on Instagram. Listen very carefully. Let's play it.
Any discussion in Congress about federal truth and reconciliation or media literacy initiatives to help with healing? I definitely... I can't say, I don't think that the response, that this kind of like medium term response has fully crystallized yet. But what I can say is that there's absolutely a commission that's being discussed, but it seems to be more investigatory in style rather than truth and reconciliation. And so I think that's an interesting concept for us to explore. And, you know, I do think that several members of Congress in some of my discussions have brought up media literacy, because that is a part of what happened here. And we're going to have to figure out how we rein in our media environment so that you can't just spew disinformation and misinformation. It's one thing to have differing opinions, but it's another thing entirely to just say things that are false.
Okay, stop it right there. Okay. all right. This should send Chris Matthews style shivers up your spine to hear a sitting member of Congress and the House of Representatives, AOC, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, talking about the media in a commission with investigatory power dealing with truth and reconciliation, not so much reconciliation, but truth, investigatory media literacy, and how we rein in our media environment. Information versus opinions. Here's how this works. This is just the deal on the liberal leadership, okay? If you disagree with them, if you don't see the world the way they do, then you need to be reined in because you're spewing hate, disinformation, and lies. They claim to be the party of tolerance. They're absolutely the party and the mecca of intolerance. The only thing they tolerate is their own stuff, okay? You come against that, and you're intolerated. No way. We're not going to deal with you. So she's talking about, and believe me, this is real, because they want total control. It's the same thing that's always true on the left. The radical left wants total control. They don't want to have a dialogue. We don't want to have a debate. We want control. It's power and control. It's like having an abusive spouse, an abusive husband. It's all about power and control. So once they get all the reins of power next week, which I believe they will, then they start clamping down. And then it's how do you define what's true? Sound like Pontius Pilate, right? What is truth? Truth is their worldview. Truth is what they believe. And anything against what they believe, their opinion, is a lie. Misinformation, disinformation. So who defines the terms of the game? In this case, it would be liberals. Define what is truth. Define what is literacy. What's media literacy anyway? We have to rein in our media environment. So if you come out and make claims that there was all kinds of election fraud, all they have to say is that's misinformation and disinformation. Based on what? Because it is. And once you rule in the White House and in Congress, you don't. When's the last time they had to rationalize what they did to us? And even every 2 years, hey, I'm spanking the American people here for a second, you and me. Even every 2 years when we reelect or put up for reelection, every single member in the House of Representatives, 85 to 90% of the incumbents get reelected. We complain and we whine like crazy, but we largely as a nation keep putting the same people in there, and they don't have to rationalize anything. We sat around and complained when they signed a 5,000 page bill that they didn't even read. That's when I did the show, I Agree with AOC, because she's complaining about that big fat spending bill that they passed and Trump signed a couple weeks ago. And we're supposed to vote on this in 2 hours. You give us a 5,000 page bill. We can't possibly vote on this. Go back to Obamacare and Nancy Pelosi saying, hey, we'll read the bill after we pass it. That's not a representative republic. That's an oligarchy. That's a government. That's a country run by a very small, very powerful group of people. It's not a representative republic. And if we can't trust our election system, that's gone. A representative republic? You don't live in one. We might not. We might be there already. So here's my question for us Christians. Let's just assume, for the sake of the remainder of the show, let's just assume that this just gets worse. It just keeps getting worse. Less power, less control, less voice, more censorship, less representation. We never have another conservative in the White House. Not in the next 50 years. You're going to see some pushback in 2 years. That's going to be wild, the midterm elections. But let's just say the general trend for the next 30, 40 years And I'll be with the Lord by then, probably 40 years from now, is downward. And conservatism, the death of conservatism in America, the rise of radical liberalism, Marxism, and ultimately communism. And that's just the deal. That's where we're going. That's where the country's going. That's where the world's going. The Great Reset happens, yada, yada, yada. What are you going to do? How now shall we live? How are you going to handle that? What are you going to do? If we picked you up today and moved you to China, what would you do? If we had a time machine and pushed you back into the first century church, living under Nero, Caligula, the biggest psychopath, some of the biggest psychopath leaders, certainly in the world, in world history, but in Rome. Listen, Caligula, talk about a sexual deviant. Or you want to talk about any of the Roman emperors. And that's the government you live under. You got nothing. You have no representation, no influence, no voice, no nothing. What are you going to do? Well, we don't live there yet, Steve. Well, yeah, well, we're on our way there. All I'm doing is asking, where do we focus? What gets our time, talent, and treasure? Because like I said earlier, because I fail this test all the time. I post more than I pray. If I prayed as much as I posted, as much time as I spent reading the news, studying the news, posting about the news, doing radio, if I spent that much time in prayer, I don't even know what that would look like. I don't even know what that would do to my own personal life, my own personal walk with the Lord. If I were that prayerful, if I trusted God and believed in the power of prayer that much. But I think largely we've struggled with that over time for a couple thousand years, most likely. But what if we just got better? What if we got better at training up our own children, speaking the truth, sharing the gospel? You want to see America change? You better pray for a great awakening, because the only thing that's changed in this country at this point is major spiritual influence. That's the only thing. The only thing that pushes back the darkness is the light. And the light isn't the Republican Party, and it's not Donald Trump. It's the truth of God's word. It is God's word. It's the Spirit. It's God himself. How do you invoke that? How do you bring that into this world? You live it out yourself. You share it, and you teach it. That's it. And then the chips fall where they may. Be faithful. And then you can go to bed at night. And it's not your responsibility to save the entire country, but you also cannot sit on the sideline and watch it burn and do nothing. Why? Because this country is made up of 340 million people, 800 to 900,000 of them we kill every year in the womb. But besides that, 340 million people, all of whom are your neighbors. And as this country gets darker and as the government gets more radical, more and more people will be harmed, seriously harmed. And you're going to see a reversal of every pro-life increase in the last 4 years is going to get reversed in the next few months, if not the next few weeks. And so real prices are paid by real people when a nation starts to go down this road, and ours is. And that's why I stay engaged. Talking about politics, I stay prayerful about politics. I vote. I try to influence others in their vote. I try to educate. That's why I teach 4 or 5 classes a week for high school age homeschoolers. I do what I can, and I leave the results to the Lord. And it's a lot easier for me doing that, to go to bed at night, knowing that I did what I could. I did what I could. But man, one thing we got to do a lot more of is pray and preach and evangelize. You want to see people that don't think right, think right? Get them full of the Holy Spirit. Well, we don't do that. God does that. But holy cow, what a huge change. Clay mentioned this, and I appreciate this. This Saturday, I'll be there. I hope you'll be there with me. You're looking for something to do? I need to do something, Steve. Okay, this is easy. Come out. January 16th, this Saturday, 1 to 4 p.m., downtown Raleigh at the Bicentennial Plaza. That's right in between the two museums, right in front of the General Assembly building, downtown Raleigh, the 23rd annual North Carolina Rally and March for Life. It's going to be an awesome event, and it will be you doing something for the cause of life and for the Christian witness. This is Steve Noble on The Steve Noble Show. God willing, I'll talk to you again real soon. And like my dad always used to say, ever forward.